the Lord just put John on my mind and giving him the opportunity to speak. And so I went up to him during the break and just kind of laid that one on him. And he first looked at me like deer in headlights. But then he said, yeah, let me pray about that. So anyway, I'm not going to go any further in the story. I'm going to let him pick up and go with it from there. But this was a good week for me, especially since I was going to be out of town, but also just excited about that. So, John, will you come on up? And hang on, I'll get you a stool to set your water on. Let's just extend your hand right now towards John. Let's just pray for him. Father, thank you for this man of God. Thank you that he loves you. Thank you that he's obedient to you. Thank you for the plan and the destiny that you have for him. Mm-hmm. And so this morning, I just ask that you'd use him, Lord, that he wouldn't work, he wouldn't strive, but he would just allow you to speak through him to us. And Lord, let us hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Donnie. So Pastor Donnie told half of the story, and so I'm going to tell you why I looked like a deer in the headlights a couple weeks ago. So when I got into service that month ago, I was sitting back there, and none of the worship had started. The worship team wasn't even up here yet. And I was thinking, okay, this is just going to be a normal service. I'm going to sit here. I may hear a few things from Holy Spirit. I'm going to have a radical encounter with him through the message. And then I'm going to go meet my family for lunch. And so I was going to sit down and just start praying. And when I sat down, I heard Holy Spirit say to me, preach what I tell you to preach. And I was like, what? I'm sorry. I was like, I don't have any speaking engagements lined up. I just released my own discipleship group to go make their own discipleship groups. And I didn't have any events lined up where I was doing anything for an event. So I thought, okay, I just trust you. You're going to tell me. You're going to work it out in the end. You're going to show me what I need to see. And so as I was praying about that through the worship service, Pastor Donnie came up to me during the break, and he put his hand on my shoulder and said, how would you like to preach one Sunday? And I was like, great. And so I thought, I'll do it. And I thought, well, I have to tell him why I reacted the way that I did, because honestly, I felt kind of embarrassed the way that I looked at you a few weeks ago. Because I was like, what do I say? I mean, like, God responded like that. And so what do you do? But that's how I got up in front of you here today, and God has really placed this message on my heart, and I feel like it's going to be really good, especially with what just happened in worship. But let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day today. I thank you for the ways that you've just blessed us. I thank you for the ways that you've just brought us here. I thank you for keeping us safe with all the storms rolling in. I thank you for the people that are here in town, for the ways that we'll be able to reach them and minister to them. I thank you, Father, for the ways that you are just going to use me today. I thank you for speaking to me and giving me this opportunity a long time ago. I thank you for just using me today, giving me the words to say, saying them in the way that you want me to say them. And I thank you for just open ears, open eyes, open minds, and open hearts, Jesus, to receive what you have in store for these people today. I thank you for the ways that you've grown me in teaching me about this. And I thank you for the ways that you're going to grow my fellow brothers and sisters through this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So I want to take us first to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 6. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And this is the passage that God brought to my mind the day after I spoke to Pastor Donnie. And I was thinking, okay, God, what do you want me to speak about? Because obviously you brought it to my attention personally. Then you brought it to Pastor Donnie. So obviously you have something for me to say. And it's not something that is light by any means necessary. It's just something that I believe is important and has some weight to it. And so I asked him, what do you want me to talk about? And I kept on reading the passage, and I thought, do you want me to talk about salvation? And I wasn't hearing anything. Do you want me to talk about sleep? And he was like, no. And so I said, well, what's something that you want me to focus on? And the more I kept on reading the passage, the more that I kept on seeing the word sober become more bold and more bold and more bold every time that I read it. And I thought, why talk about being sober? I mean, we understand that the opposite of being sober is being intoxicated, being drunk, or having too much alcohol. And so I thought, why do I need to focus on being sober? And as I was praying about it, he said, you need to look at it from a different perspective. And I was like, okay, so let's look at it in a different perspective. And so I felt led to go look it up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary to see if there were any other definitions for being sober. And so when I looked at Merriam-Webster's dictionary, this was the other definition that it gave for sober. Instead of just saying not being intoxicated, it said marked by sedate or earnestly thoughtful character, unhurried or calm. That unhurried or calm in that definition really stood out to me because I thought, how often do we think about being sober as being unhurried or calm? We always think about it just as being sober, as being clear-minded. But seeing as sober as being an unhurried or calm character or perspective that we have through our daily lives, that totally changed the way that I saw the entire passage. So I looked at it in a different version, in the Amplified version, and it says that it defines sober as self-controlled, calm, and wise. You see, when we look at the definition of being sober, sober isn't just saying, like, don't be drunk. It's saying that you have the opportunity to see the world in a different perspective that God wants you to see it in. He wants you to see it from a self-controlled perspective, a calm perspective, and a position of wisdom. And so as I was asking him how I could keep going through this message, he said that he showed me a image of a pot of boiling spaghetti, and I thought, this doesn't make any sense. And so I was asking him about it, and he said, the mind, he said, when it is not sober, is like a pot of boiling spaghetti. If you've ever seen a pot of boiling spaghetti, the noodles are just constantly overturning one another. It's bubbling, it's fuming, it's steaming, it's never quiet, still, or calm. It's always moving. It's not firm. And that's what I think is interesting when he was talking to me about it, because the devil wants you to feel like that pot of boiling spaghetti noodles. He wants you to feel like you don't have the opportunity to stay calm or firm or unhurried, that you have the opportunity to just sit there and stay frustrated at your situations, to stay frustrated at those instances that may seem like big distractions to you, when in reality they were just little distractions. But more on that. When you think about a pot of boiling spaghetti and thinking about ourselves being fuming or mad or frustrated over the little things, immediately I'm taken to the position where I think of like a small kid. When something doesn't go their way or something they don't completely understand happens, they look at it in a very frustrated way. They get hot, they get frustrated, they get mad, they get fuming, they get boiling, and they look like they're just about to lose it. But then sometimes those parents have to step in and say, look, you have to look at it from a different perspective instead of looking at the problem the way that you're looking at it. And I feel like our Heavenly Father does the same thing with us. But I want to emphasize again the sober mind. So let's look back in the passage again. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. And then hopping back down to verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Being sober-minded to me is seeing that self-control and that wisdom and seeing that calm attitude that Jesus showed. And Jesus wants us to be able to partake in that similar mindset, because he even says in his word that we are new creations in Christ. We don't have to live like our old lives and see the world and think about things the same way that we did before we were saved. He wants to change that perspective. He wants to have us see the thing differently and think about things differently. And so I asked him, what else do you think would be incorporated with a sober mind? And immediately I'm taken to Romans 12:2, which says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. You see, if we don't have a sober mind, meaning a renewed mind, we look at the world in a completely different way. We look at the world as just like, oh, that happens. It's just another Monday. It's just another day. It's just one more bad thing that happened. But the thing is, when we have a transformed mind, when we have that renewed mind, when we have that sober mind, we see things from the way that God sees them, that we're able to discern what is good and what is acceptable and what is perfect, rather than looking at things from a perspective like, oh, that's just something that happened. We can look at the situation and say, is that something God has intended for me? Is that something that the devil has intended for me? Because I'm going to tell you, the enemy's going to throw everything in front of your face to distract you. He's going to make the smallest things blow up into the biggest things in front of your face. And those big things that are actually little things are the things that are going to try and keep you away from actually fulfilling the plan and purposes that God has in store for your life. But having that renewed mind, especially in terms of thinking about it that way, being able to discern situations and discern the instances that are going on around you, that means that having a renewed mind means that you're prepared for battle. Whether you like it or not, the moment you became saved, you have to realize that you were enlisted in a war that has been going on for thousands of years. And you can't get out of that war. You have an active role in that war. I don't have the same role that you may have, or say like Mr. Adams, one of my teachers. He was someone that taught me about the Bible. I may not be a Bible teacher one day, but his plan and purpose was to be a Bible teacher that taught me so that way I could equip someone else. Or Pastor Donnie, he's a pastor standing in front of you every week. He's equipping you to be able to go out into your workforce and to be able to minister to people that are there. And so having that renewed mind means that you are prepared for battle. But meaning that you are prepared for battle means that you have gear. It means that you are equipped to go into a battle fully prepared. And that's the beautiful thing about the Christian life, is that God doesn't throw us into situations where we are unprepared, but he throws us into situations where we are fully prepared and fully equipped. And so when we think about it that way, let's look back at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. You see, a lot of people question, specifically believers, what have we been equipped with as believers? I don't have my armor hanging up in the closet somewhere. I don't see a shiny piece of armor just hanging up there thinking like, okay, I'm going to put it on today when I go to work. No, that's not what it is. You see, I believe that the armor that we see described in this passage, as well as in Ephesians 6, it's the armor that we put on when we become new creations. It's the new mindset, it's the new heart set that when we go out there, we're not unprepared to face those situations, but we are fully prepared. Looking at the breastplate of faith and love, it's concerning a heart of faith and a heart of love that resembles the heart of the Father. It's an exact reflection of what he's supposed to look like when he's in that workplace. Because like what happened when Jesus was on earth, if only Jesus was around and he was the only one that could minister to people, it would take for a very long time to be able to reach everyone that works at your job and then my job or my school or your school. And Jesus has equipped us with the ability to be able to go out and act as his hands and feet in the world. And so that first piece of armor is very important, because if we have that breastplate of faith and love, we have that heart of faith, knowing that we have the faith in him and that we are standing firm in him. But we also have the heart of love, knowing that we can react to people in a way that shows the heart of the Father to other people. That we don't have to sit there and think, oh my gosh, okay, how am I supposed to love this person when they did this to me and that to me and this to me did that to me? I mean, I can look at that person and say, no, God loves them no matter what they did. But moving on, I want to talk about the helmet, because I feel like the helmet relates to this teaching the most importantly out of all of it. So I think that when we look at a helmet, we think about something that's shiny, that's bright, it's very ornate. If you've ever seen like a medieval helmet, it has the big face guard on it and usually has like a big feather on it. And people think, oh, it's never scratched or it's never dirty or it's never banged up. But the thing is, that's a good image to have for that piece of armor. Because you see, the helmet represents a firm foundation. Because this new mindset that we have as believers, a sober mind, a transformed mind, meaning a renewed mind, means that we have a helmet that is firm, meaning a mindset that is firm, a mindset that is unshakable, that when we have gone into situations and someone says something to us that catches us off guard, we can look at it and say, okay, that's either something of God or it's of the enemy. And when we are able to recognize that, we know that our mindset is firm in him. We realize that when we're saying those things and acting on behalf of him and thinking about those things that he wants us to dwell on, we have that firm foundation to rely on. That when we talk to people, we don't have to worry about, ooh, am I saying this right? Am I acting this way right? Da 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 da. we just look at the situation and we say, this is what Jesus says how to treat those people, and I'm going to rest on that firm foundation. And so having that renewed mind means that the helmet is firm, and when it's hit, it doesn't bend, it doesn't change, it's always the same. But having a sober mind is interesting because I think that it understands the identity of Christ, an identity in Christ. Because when we have a helmet that's firm, when we have the armor that prepares us to fight those things that are out there, the enemy will use distractions and opportunities and events to try and get in our heads and say, you're not a child of God, you're not this, you're too weak, you're too this, you're too that. And when we have that firm mindset, we can say, no, Jesus says that I'm this, I am this, I am this, I am loved, I am cherished, I am known by my Father. And when we have that mindset, we understand the identity in Christ. We're able to look at people and look at those situations and say, I am someone that has the opportunity to make a difference in my area because I have my identity in Christ. I am a child of God, and I can walk that out to the fullest extent that He needs me to carry it out. But the thing is, when I've thought about distractions, a lot of people think about bad things that go around in their lives. And a lot of people think about how those problems that come into their face, sometimes sickness, sometimes disease, sometimes mental illness, other instances, family death, other things like that, they only see the bad distractions. But I want you to know today that we are sometimes guilty of the good distractions as well and focusing too much on them. I'm going to give you a personal example. So there's a board in my room. And when I think about that board in my room, it has a list of prayer requests on it. And it's just things that I focus on to pray about. And so when I'm in my private time, when I'm speaking with Him, when I'm studying His word, I'm looking at those things. And God is saying, okay, so you want to pray about this today and this today and this today and this today. Different things like my discipleship group to my family to things that I'm doing at school. And as I was praying about those things, I said, okay, how do you want me to relate that to this message? Because He kept on bringing that board to my mind. And the thing is, when we look at that board, and when I thought about that board, He said, you're praying about it all wrong. And I was like, what? I was like, I wrote these things out dedicated and devoted to you. And I thought, what would you want to change? So He took me over to the board and He had me erase it. And on the board, He had me take it off the wall and lay it on the ground in front of me. And if you've ever seen like a picture where a car is on a road and it's looking out into the horizon, there's a vanishing point. And it's like a straight line, two straight lines going out till they converge. So He had me draw something similar to that, almost to the point where the lines converged. And at the top of it, He was telling me, you need to write your relationship with me. So I put that up there. And He said, what does a relationship with me beget? And I said, a relationship with you leads to understanding the commands that you've asked us to pursue. And so He said, what is the command that I've asked you to pursue? And I put, well, it's the Great Commission. He said, so what are the two things in the Great Commission? He said, share the gospel, make disciples. And I said, okay, what now? And so He was showing me how I could pray about those things differently. And then I said, well, what else? The board is blank. What would you want else for me to write? And so on to the right, He said, put everything you can control. So for example, school. I'm a college student, so I have a lot of work that I have to do. I'm actually going to go home and do some work when I leave this place. But the thing is, it's something that I have the ability to control and to contribute to. It's something that I know that when I devote my full self to it, when I devote my best to it, that I can get the job done and glorify Him. And then to the left, He said, put everything you can't control. And so one of those things is like networking and working with other believers in the body of Christ. Because like sometimes you know you want to work with these people in the body of Christ who you feel like, oh my gosh, they are like powerhouses in the spirit. And then there are these other people who are like, oh, I don't know if they are, but I mean, I still want to work with them. And often we want to like pick and choose who we want to work with. But see, the thing is, God puts people in our lives for us to be able to work with them in that moment. And that's something that He had to teach me. But as I looked down at the board, He said, you see how I changed your thinking. And I realized that even in my prayer life, that I had good distractions keeping me from developing a deeper relationship with Him. I was looking at things and praying about things where I was like, okay, these things are the most important, and I'm forgetting to pray about deepening my relationship with Him. And I understand that those distractions were the things that kept me from growing in certain ways. And I can promise you, the moment that I changed, things changed for me spiritually. And the only thing that I could relate that to in a larger sense, to be able to relate to y'all, is a story about Mary and Martha when Jesus was staying with them. When Jesus was staying with Mary and Martha for one of the first times, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she was listening to him speak and teach. But Martha was over in the kitchen. She was preparing. She was getting things ready to eat. She was fixing food. She was focusing on things that were seemingly important at the time, but they weren't necessary because she could have been listening to Jesus teach. And so when Martha tries to get Jesus to side with her and say, listen, Mary should be working, don't you agree? I mean, I'm doing good things, I'm serving people. And she was right. She was doing things that Jesus commended. But at the same time, he says, listen, Mary's in the right because she's not being distracted by those things. She's focusing on me when it's time to focus on me. And she's wanting to develop a deeper relationship with me. And so I feel like that's what I would like to talk to y'all and end with y'all about, is that distractions fade when you look at those simple things. Because I realized that when I was praying about how to better focus on that board, when I was trying to focus on how to better develop a relationship with him, I was focusing on all these distractions. I felt like I'd shut out all the bad distractions that the enemy tried to throw in my face. But when I looked at those good distractions, they were keeping me from even looking at the Father. And so I wanted to tell you that those simple things, just developing a deeper relationship with Christ, is super important. And that is the thing that you must keep your focus on, because that sober mind will lead you to keep focused on the simple things. A renewed mind helps you think about things the way that Jesus wants you to think about them. And understanding that your transformed mind means that you don't have to look at it the old way, the way that you would think about in a worried sense or a scared sense or a freaked out sense. You could look at it from a perspective of calm, unhurried, and wisdom. And you could say, this is the simple thing that he's called me to focus on. And when I focus on the simple thing, everything else will fall into place. And so, yeah. But that's all that I had for you today. But I wanted to offer one opportunity before I left the podium. So there were two things that God was really laying on my heart as I was wrapping this up. And I said, is there anyone that you want me to pray for? Because, I mean, for me, that's just a natural thing for me. I want to go and pray for people because I feel like God has a heart for people. And he said there are two things that he wanted to at least offer for prayer before I left. First, there are a lot of distractions that try and pull us away. And in stating that there are bad distractions and good distractions, I'm not diminishing how important those distractions can be to us. I want to give the opportunity for anyone that may feel like they have distractions in their lives that are keeping them from developing a deeper relationship with Christ. I want to pray with them about that right now. And also, there was a thing that he really convicted me about. There, when I was a child, I'll start off that way, I was really sick. And my parents can attest to it, who are sitting back there. And when I was very sick, my parents were at a service where they listened to a guest speaker. And he offered a similar thing that I'm about to offer. And when they came up and prayed with him over me, I know I was healed every time. And so I want to offer the same thing for y'all. If there are any kids that need prayer for anything, or if you know that there's a specific need for your child healing-wise, I want to give parents the opportunity to come up here, and I want to pray with them over your child, because I believe God has a heart for your child as they are the future generations, and he has great plans for them as they're coming up. And so, yeah, that's it. Yeah.